New Media, The Final Frontier. These are the broadcasts of The Tomorrow Show. Its mission? To befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
This fast enough for you, Michael? What's up, guys? Welcome back to The Tomorrow Show. I am not Kevin Undergaro, because I'm Roxy Stryer. Kevin Undergaro is on a possibly secret mission. I don't know how much we can or cannot say, but he is killing it somewhere with some people that may or may not have been aboard this ship before. Also, I'm hearing some feedback from
feedback.
I get it. It's a new station to be sitting at over at the bar. Christy Report.
Hello, Roxy Stryer, not Kevin Undergaro.
So weird to be watching you in that seat.
It's weird to be here.
Yeah, but it's good, right?
I don't. As long as I live up to the Roxy Stryer expectations, then I'm good.
Oh, girl, you've lived up and surpassed so many years ago.
I'm good.
You're doing great.
All right.
You're killing it. Although there is no alcohol flowing anymore in here. Like, I feel like we were doing better off when we did have Captain Undergaro with the alcohol and everybody was joining. But that was for Thursday nights. Now we're on Wednesdays. We get to be old as shit and sober and stuff. Man.
Which works for some people sometimes.
Not for me. No. Michael Klaus in the booth, checking in. Still a virgin or nah?
Still on the train.
Oh, thank God.
Well, are you?
Is it a
were
train?
You worried?
No. It feels like a weird train. Like if you're still on the train.
No, you're at the train stop.
Yeah, you're not on. You're not on the train.
It's like the whole thing. Are you on the wagon or off the wagon? Like, who knows what the correct one is?
Well, I feel like if you're off the wagon, you had to be on it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just on the train? That sounds like you're like running train on women, like having all the sex. I think we got to think of a better.
It definitely does.
Better expression, right? Yeah. Bonjour, Juliette. What do the French people say about that? Hi. Bonjour, bonjour.
Bonjour. Amazing,
Roxy. Oh, so I'm as good as Undergaro?
Oh, I would say even better, but.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Don't tell him that. Damn. Michael, we had an interesting interaction earlier today.
Yeah, we did.
Gosh, it was so weird, guys. I don't even want to.
I'm glad we did the virginity check already.
Yeah, I had to check because it's like he's changing as a person. So, you know, when you're trying to get a lot of shit done in life and it just isn't going that way for you in the day. So, like, I had one of those days today where I spent like 4 hours on the phone with an airline and then like 2 hours on the phone with a hotel reservation. And just like the phone was failing for me all frickin' day today. And then I realized at some point I had a missed call from Michael. So I'm like, what? Okay. I don't even know if I can get back on the phone right now, but let me call him back and just see like what's going on. I think he had texted me. He was trying to help me out with something. So I was like, all right, I'm going to give him a call back. So I call him and Michael, I don't even know what exactly you did here.
I thought about a week ago, I said, man, you know, what might be a fun prank. And you tell yourself that it's funny in your head. You said, let me just start saying my voicemail when I answer the phone and see what happens. Didn't go well the first time. Didn't go well this time with Roxy because they both hung up.
Oh, that's what happened.
But I didn't even understand what he was like. I called him after about four rings. Michael picked up and was like, hi, you've reached Michael Klaus. Thank you so much for calling. If you want to leave him. And then I hung up. And then I get a call back from him with like this long ramble. And by the time he gets done with his speech, I'm in a dead zone and I can't talk to him anymore about what we had to talk about. It was a 5 minute long conversation about how he wanted to trick me into leaving a voice message on my machine. Like the most weird.
No one does that anymore.
Waste of my time that has ever been. Like, couldn't even believe. And so I finally was like, Michael, what did you want to happen here? Like, what were you thinking was going to happen?
What was the goal?
Well,
the best case scenario is that you actually get it through, and then you say beep, and you actually can fool them with the beep, and then they start telling you something, and then you're able to scare them or able to interrupt their voicemail and actually tell them that it's actually you.
So but, you think that you, Michael, I mean, we cannot, I can only spend about 15 more seconds on this conversation, but you, Michael, believe that I, Roxy, would hear you, Michael, say beep, beep and leave a message.
Beep.
Are you?
Not, is that not convincing?
You beep. Are on the train, my friend. You are on the train right now.
Worst. And then the worst thing is then I tried calling you back after telling you that because we broke up again, and I heard your voicemail, and I thought it was you joking, and now I don't know.
This was a back and forth that took an hour long to get through. Finally, like, I reach him, and he's like, you don't even understand what's been happening. I was like, what the fuck, Michael? I have a question for you. Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, you guys are never going to be able to talk on the phone ever again.
No, so I tried to do it to him. Whatever. Bonjour is not impressed by that. You will be impressed by a lot of things we're talking about tonight, though, because celebrity's gone wild. We're definitely going to get to what is going on in Kanye West's little world. Is it a little world? I guess it's a big world. And unfortunately, it's the same world that we all live in and a world that Bill Cosby also lives in. So we're going to talk about that. Then something near and dear to my heart, the Boy Scouts. That sounded a little more pedophilic than I wanted it to.
Just a tad, but you can explain later.
Yeah. I'll get there at some point. And also, we've got some Facebook stalking to do, possibly. Yes. But before we get to any of that news that I know is on Michael Klaus's doc, let's talk about this weekend a bit. We had a TTS weekend where we all got together. That doesn't happen very often. It was really cool. We went actually and saw past guest of the show, Sean Whalen's show, Psyche on Vine, which he had been asking us to come to for quite a bit. And I'm so happy he did. This is something I talked to him about at the performance. But hi, Michael, who we can hear in there on our headphones.
Oh, so, there we are. So cute.
Oh, yeah. It's a cute picture. If you want to check out The Tomorrow Show Instagram at The Tomorrow Show, you can see the picture of all of us outside of the theater. But I was talking to Sean when we finally did go after the show, and we'll talk about the show in a minute. And he was like, I'm so glad I stayed persistent with you guys, because sometimes that's all it takes. Like, I know that I had to ask you guys 80 times, and I know that I had to follow up, and I know that that's what you have to do in LA, and I know that people think that that can be annoying, but, like, it's what you have to do. People have busy lives. And I was thinking, you know what? I really need to take the lesson in that and start following the fuck up more. Like, I just get so weird about it all the time, you know?
Yeah, and for me, it's not even like following up. I'm kind of one of those people who's always like, oh, I don't want to bother them, or I don't want to bother so-and-so, or,
yeah,
you know, everyone
bother.
Seems so much busier than me, or like, oh, they are not going to care about my little thing, or...
Yeah, but he did follow up, and he was so happy to see us there.
He really
so
was.
So we walk in, and it was this... I don't even know, interactive theater experience, perhaps we could call it.
Yeah, immersive.
Yeah, immersive experience. We went there. Also, security guard, captain, security captain of the ship. What do we call Joe Gear here? Security guard of the ship?
Head of security?
Head of security.
Head of TTS security aboard the TTS ship.
I think he would appreciate that.
We miss Joe Gear. He hasn't been on the show since the original season. Since like episode 7. But he came with us. And other than that, it was the rest of the people in this room, plus your captain at Undergaro. And we walk in, they seat us at a table as if they were waiters and we were customers there. And it was interesting. We kind of couldn't get the vibe of it. Like, Christy was the one who was organizing it. And we all kept being like, Christy, what's happening? Christy, what's going on? Christy's like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. Why are you asking me the question?
I had very little information. I did know that he was going to be in character when we showed up, which I forgot to share with you all until you started bombarding me with questions.
Yeah.
But yeah, we weren't really sure.
But it was unreal. Kevin kept looking at me being like, stop being such a Jew in this moment. You need to be a goy. Just go with it. Because I had so many questions, and like, they gave us these special fancy drinks that we could order from. And I'm like, I just want a Jameson on the rocks. He's like, can't you be fun and order the Madness Method drink? I'm like, no, I don't like vodka right now. He's like, oh, you're the fucking worst to go anywhere with, which I kind of am, but I know what I like. But once I did get into it, it was really cool to see. They basically pretend to be these therapists that are also waiters, and they give advice, and there was this back and forth, and it was short, an hour long, with tons of booze. so you know I want to be there. And I was really, really impressed with it. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it just felt so real because we were seated amongst the families and the couples and the people that they were so-called, I don't know, what do they call that when you go to a therapist?
Clients? Patients?
Yeah, that they were psychiatrating.
Oh.
So those people were right in with us. I mean, we really had to like turn around at one point. I was like, oh my God, it's them, that family.
Yeah.
That weird family that came in late. They're here to get psychiatrized.
That's definitely the technical term for it, for sure. Boof, what'd you guys think about the show?
I thought it was so interesting, and I think it was more the anticipation of it that was crazy. We're all sitting there and wondering what's going to happen, and I turned to Kev, and I was like, I don't know if it's a Goy thing or not, but I'm feeling really anxious about this whole thing, not knowing. It was just so much anxiety.
No, I feel like that was super-duper Jew of you.
It was?
I don't know. Jews get anxious about things. The Goys are just like, let go and let God, baby.
You think so? Kev said he was like, I feel you. I'm feeling real anxious too.
Well, is Kev our Jew?
He's our Jew, but he's also our Goy, isn't he?
I don't feel like Kev's our Goy. I feel like Michael's our Goy.
That's true.
Kev is our Jew. So afterwards, instead of all bolting, which definitely would have been a Roxy circa 2009 move, we stayed. And we got drinks with the cast. It was the closing night of their show. And it was really, really cool. Kevin was talking to me. As you guys know, I moved out here to be an actress. And he's like, these are the people you have to be rubbing elbows with. Stay. Talk to them. Talk to the director, the producer. See what's going on. And a lot of them teach classes here out in L.A. A lot of them are working on current projects. So I actually took a few business cards myself, which was really nice. And got to talk to some really interesting people, all of whom are doing shit. Like things that I want to be doing. And it's like, how often can you be in a room with people that are doing the kind of things you want to do in that kind of setting? So that was really, it was smart that Kevin had me stay. And I'm pissed at myself that it's still like a question in my mind after. It doesn't come naturally to me to be like, yes, I should stay and I should network with these people that obviously are doing it in this industry. It's still
Why do you think that is, Roxy?
I don't know. Like, I just think I kind of grew up always on to the next. What's the next move? What's the next scam? Where do I go next? Definitely when I was younger in high school, it's like no matter what party you were at, this party isn't better than the next party. Where's the next thing going? And I have kicked that a little bit because it's a really shitty quality to have, by the way. Like, it's not something I'm proud of that I always want to, like, be doing the next thing.
It's kind of an LA thing.
Maybe, but I'm a Boston girl. I don't know. I think it's just a shitty part of my personality that I've tried to get rid of. We all have those, you know,
of
things
course.
That you're not like amped on. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, if I could pitch you the perfect person, it would be somebody who's never satisfied where they are. That is not a good trait, but it's definitely something I've struggled with in the past. And usually, by the way, the next party sucks. Like,
that's true.
Usually where you are is the good party. And it definitely was the case in this situation. Like, where the fuck was I going that would have been better than that? Like, honestly, home to bed. That's where I would have been going. But instead, my mind always is like, where, what? What's next? And I've really tried to calm that part down. Kevin's definitely helped me with that. And it's also weird because you say it's an LA thing, but I feel like none of you guys are like that. Like, you guys all just seem so happy wherever you are. And
yeah, but it's kind of that mentality of like, what's hotter, what's better, what's next, what's newer, what's more fun.
It's,
who's going to be at the next party? You know, it's FOMO. I think it all comes down to a good, healthy fear of missing out.
I do have fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. I do have fear of missing out, but I really can't think of a time ever where I went to the next party and didn't think like, I wish I was at that last party. Like, even when you walk into the next place, you're like, why did I leave? Why did I do that?
But aren't you thinking, okay, now I have to go to the next one and then the next one?
Well, it's like, I got to go back or forward.
You have to go back?
I either have to go back or forward. Like, and I have gotten better, but it's just never being satisfied where you are. And Kevin, if you're listening to this right now, you're going to really hate the next thing I'm going to say. So maybe fast forward 15 seconds. But
uh-oh.
I do think part of it's that millennial ADD thing where it's just like, no matter what you're doing, like, it because we're also stimulated by 50 million things at once, mm-hmm. I no longer can just watch a TV show. I have to be watching a TV show and be on my phone and cooking dinner, because watching a TV show isn't enough for me. So that's the same thing. Like, I can no longer just be at a party and just be there. Like, the way that I operate, I have to be doing 70 million things, always on thinking to the future, always thinking what my next step is. And then even when I am somewhere, not being satisfied with where I am, because I'm like, well, you know what? I have to be up by 6 a.m. tomorrow. So if I am going to make it to that next thing, I have to go to it now, because I have to be home by 11, because I have to be in bed. But, like, just never being in the moment, which fucking sucks.
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with just being present.
Yeah, for sure.
It does. You know what I've been kind of thinking lately? Maybe it's because I'm getting kind of old, but, like, I'm thinking, why do I have these traits? Whether they're good or bad. So maybe you were given that so that you are, so that you never settle, so that you're always trying to do more and be better. And does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe it's just something I picked up as a brat and, like, desperately need to kick at some point, because I will miss an opportunity if I don't figure out how not to.
Well, it sounds like you're doing pretty well.
I'm working on it. Speaking of things that Kevin has taught me, holy shit, one came to fruition this week. And thank goodness that I had this Kevism, as I call them. Wow. This one, like, hit me like a ton of bricks. So I used to date this guy who I've talked about on this show before, who's now a pretty big agent in Los Angeles. And him and I dated in college. This is a crazy story. So we dated in college, and things were, like, as tumultuous could be. When he was hot with me, I was not. When I was hot with him, he was not. Like, on and off, touch and go.
Sexy.
No, it wasn't. It was just stupid, you know? Like, drama for the sake of drama, never whatever. And we had a horrible, horrible relationship. It did not go very well.
How long?
The first time we hooked up was freshman year, and the last time we hooked up was senior year. Wow. But I was hooking up with people the entire time. And, like, he was my best friend, and he wanted me, and I got drunk one night and was like, ah, fuck it. And it never should have happened. And then that just created this messy years of, like, drunken debauchery. But the point is that for the first 2 years, he was so, so into me, and I treated him like dog poop. Was just the most obnoxious Roxy ever. Like, we had sorority invites, which, in case you guys don't know, when you are in a sorority, you throw a big party, and it's called an invite because you get to invite somebody to it. Mm-hmm. So him and I would be dating, and for when invites rolled around, I would bring a different guy. And he would be like, what the fuck? And I'd be like, I'm just not that into it right now. And that's a rude thing to do. Like, you take the person that you're dating. You don't take a random guy over the person you're seeing. Things like that, or just, like, not showing up to things, or making an ass of myself when I was drunk in front of his family or something. Just, like, being that girl that sucked.
Okay? You're probably the only girl in college that was acting that way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the only one. No, I wasn't. But I wasn't I've talked about it on the show before, but I was definitely not as good of a human being as I am now. I'm a pretty good person now, and back then I was definitely not. So I was working on it, but hadn't gotten it there yet. So then my mom got really, really sick, and I started to be a little bit better of a person, and he decided, like, piss off. Like, you've been bad to me for quite some time now, and I'm going to stomp all over you.
So was it a now that I can have you, I don't want you? Or was it a no, you were mean to me?
Totally now that I can have you, I don't want you. Like, I said to her, I was like, listen, I've been a little shit. I'm sorry. I've been going through a lot. And, like, I'm ready. I want to be in this. And he was like, nah. So then he, like, publicly humiliated me a couple of times and, like, talked poorly about me and, like, spread all these rumors about me that were really horrible and mean, and just did a lot of bad things. Meanwhile, we were still, like, kind of hooking up and all of that stuff. The point being, though, that by the time my mom passed and he was supposed to come to the funeral, he did not show up, and he was and sent me, like, a I will not be there because I do not want to be message. And it was so bad. It was so bad. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever had somebody very close to you pass before, but you never forget things like that. Like, you never forget who shows up and who doesn't. And he didn't. And he knew my mom super duper well, and they were really close. And it was like just such a kick in the nuts to me, and so wrong in so many ways. So after that point, things were never the same. I was like, how do I have this person be in my life? So he really wasn't. And years have passed now. It's been 7 years since then. And I get a text from him this week.
Have you seen or had any contact with him in the meantime?
We went to the same school for the next couple of years. And then there was like one drunken senior night where we did hook up, but it was meaningless. And then there was always times where we were in the same group of friends, so we'd be out at a bar, but I just like couldn't stand this kid, and also was just like so disgusted over that. Mm-hmm. But I had done my fair share of crap to him as well. Anyway, he texted me this week, and he asked me, can you get dinner with me this week? And so I never knew with this kind of thing, like, about the timing. Did he hear that my boyfriend and I just broke up? Although him and I don't any longer have any mutual friends, and I haven't said anything on social media, so it's like, how would he have known that?
Oh my God, what if he's obsessed with you? He listens to every episode of The Tomorrow Show.
No,
like,
no way, because then my spot would have been blown on so many other levels. I'm pretty sure I've like come on here and talk about his penis and stuff, so definitely it would have come up at some point.
But wait, he texted you out of the blue.
On Monday. He texts me about every 6 months, bonjour, and says something along the lines of like, hey, baby, what's going on? Like, drunken texts me stupid things. And then the next morning will text me being like, sorry, man, like, was wasted last night or something. And that stopped a little bit ago. But even now, he'll text me every 6 months being like, hey, I had a client come in today who's from your hometown, or like random things. And he was always trying to be friendly, and I would just really not reciprocate, because it was like, this guy was so horrible to me. So I would just be like, cool. Thanks,
Get the idea that he feels bad?
So I'm about to tell you that he texted me on Monday, asked if I would go to dinner with him. So we went. We went to dinner on Thursday night because I was like, we haven't seen each other in that kind of way in so many years. I've got nothing to lose by going to dinner with this person. And I think there's obviously a reason he wants to go to dinner with me. So let's go. So we went to dinner. And at first, I will say it was very awkward.
I'm sure.
Like, what do you talk about with somebody that you knew so well at one point, but now like have no contact with at all, and just was just weird.
Demo says, "Don't go."
Yeah, I did. Demo, thanks for joining in the live chat, by the way, on YouTube. So I did go. It was awkward at first. Definitely, alcohol helped with that, which is what I will say. Alcohol is a great thing in some ways, and after a few drinks, we were talking and chatting, and then we started talking about each other's lives, and it got more normal, but I still kind of was wondering, like, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And it gets to be about the end of the dinner, and he looked at me, and he said, I really wanted to go out with you tonight to say something that I'm sure you've figured out, but I don't know if you know, and I just wanted to make sure that you heard it from me. How I treated you is the biggest regret of my entire life. I never stop thinking about it. Every single day, I think about what a piece of shit I was to you. And I'm so fucking sorry I wasn't there for you when you needed me. And I don't know if you'll ever forgive me, but I'm so sorry. That was horrible. And I'm embarrassed of who I was. And I'm sorry. And so old Roxy would have been like, piss off. I don't care. It's too late. But new Roxy listened to her mentor, Kevin Undergaro, who told me that true apologies are very rare. They do not come very often. And people wait their whole lives for apologies they never get. And I will be waiting for apologies my whole life that I never get from people who have wronged me. And I used to get, people would say sorry. And even if they did mean it, I would say, I don't fucking care. They screwed me over. Why would I let this person back in my life? Or why would I forgive them? But I really sat there in the moment and was like, this guy obviously has been eaten alive by this. He genuinely means it. Seems like he's a relatively good person now. Like, talking, he seemed humble and sweet and mature and grown up. And I just looked at him and I was like, I completely forgive you. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much. And he was like, thank you. It just felt like a whole weight was off his shoulders. And then I went home. And that was...
By yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I still live with my my limbo man, so...
Okay, but yes, that was going to be my next question. Did he know that you were going?
Limbo man. He knew I was going. Limbo man knew I was going. And I still don't know whether the guy that I was out to dinner with thought that that was a date or not. It didn't seem like that to me. It felt like he really had something he wanted to get off his chest, and he said it. And I think the timing just happened to be a coincidence. Ben is the man that I've been with for the last 3 years, who I don't know if I'm with anymore. His name did not come up. It didn't feel appropriate to bring him up on my end because it wasn't relevant to any of the conversations we were having, and he never asked, so it just didn't come up.
Was there any talk of relationship on his end?
Nope.
If he was with anyone, dating anyone?
Nope. It was all work. We talked about work, and his family.
Do you have plans to see each other anytime soon?
Definitely not.
Do you want to?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. Like, on my end, it definitely was like, I'm so happy to receive that closure that I wanted and needed. And now I do feel like we could have a working relationship moving forward. It definitely in no way, shape or form for me was like a fun, like, ooh, this is a fling thing. It was not that kind of thing, but I was just so fucking happy to get an apology. Like, so fucking happy. And it made me think, like, who can I do this for?
Oh.
Like, who have I burned so bad in the past that if I did this, maybe it would help them?
Well, Steven in the chat said that this sounds like step 9. Do you think that, or what do you think implored him to do this?
He said he was talking to I asked him that. I was like, what's going on? Why now? And I was kind of expecting him to say something about Ben, but he didn't. He said, I was talking to a colleague at work today about when I asked you, so a couple days ago, about the regret of you and how I treated you. And he turned to me and was like, bro, you've talked to me about this 100 times. You got to just like say something to
her. Really?
Yeah. So I think maybe somebody saying that to him. I don't know though. And I really think if you're listening to this and you're out there and you're owed an apology, there's probably nothing you can do to get it. And just kind of, you know, if you ever do get it, try to be grateful that you received it if it's real. But if you're out there and you owe somebody an apology, maybe just do it. If not even for them, then for yourself also, for both of you guys. Because, like, I imagine he slept better that night.
Is there anything that he did that you're, if someone wants to replicate, you're like, oh, maybe don't do that? Were there do's and don'ts within this whole experience?
Good question.
I mean, he didn't ask me for anything in return, which I thought was a really strong do. Because I also made my fair share of mistakes. And he wasn't like, I'm sorry, are you? Mm. It was just...
Oh, that's a terrible move, though.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's a don't.
Oh, I thought you said he didn't do it, and that would be a... Oh, it's a do not to do
it. Keep up, Michael, keep up.
To clarify for our listeners.
Yeah,
I think they got it.
That helped clarify. Now it's way less confusion.
And did you apologize to him, just to be clear? It doesn't sound like you needed to.
Yeah,
but.
I said to him, you know, I'm not particularly proud of how I treated you. I think they're different. It's a different situation. But I'm sorry for anything I did that led you to that point, because I'm sure if I had been... very kind, giving, generous human being, you wouldn't have hit that wall. It was, the timing was really poor, because like that's a crappy time to hit that wall. Mm-hmm. You know, like you give and you give and you give, and then like at the time where I need the most is when you're like, no, fuck this. That's crappy, but I get it. And so I did. I said I'm sorry for my part in any of this. But yeah, I was glad he didn't ask of me of anything, and that he prefaced it with like, if you don't forgive me, it's okay. Because I really did feel like it was okay, and he wasn't looking for me to say anything or do anything. And he waited till the end of the meal, which was good too, because it would have been incredibly awkward had we started with that. And I was like, well, fuck off, sir.
That's interesting. I would think it's the opposite, because I feel like knowing you, you'd want to kind of cut to the chase. Like, what are you guys talking about? You know what I mean? Like, what are you there for?
We were talking about, like...
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have been able to let it go on that long. I would have been like, excuse, okay, what's up? Well, jig's up, dude. Tell me what's up.
Well, there wasn't necessarily any reason. Like, I felt like maybe he could have just been asking me for dinner. So I didn't know. It's not like when he texted me, he was like, hey, do you want to get dinner? I have to tell you this burning thing that's been eating at me. Mm-hmm. I just had a sense that there was something. So it would have been weird if I was like, so why are we here? And he was just like, I just wanted to catch up with an old friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there was nothing there. And I knew if it was going to play out, if he's reaching out to me for a reason, we're not going to get to the end of dinner, pay and go home, and he's not going to spit it out. Mm-hmm. He would have said something. And even if he had said nothing, then we would have had a dinner, and it would have been fine, and it would have been no skin off my back. It was one night, an hour and a half of my time, and he reached out. So, you know, that is an olive branch within itself. That's not an apology, but it is like him reaching out, offering something, you know?
Who paid for dinner?
He asked. He tried, and I would not let him. He put a card down and wouldn't let me put a card, so I put cash in his pocket.
Classy.
So did he realize probably afterwards?
He realized when he went to the bathroom, and then he tried to give it back to me, and there was like a whole fight over it. And I was like, dude, I'm not letting you pay for dinner. Like, aww. And he was like, okay, that's nice. And then finally took
it. It's a cute way to end it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't want, it was, what I was upset though was he ordered everything. So it was so fucking expensive. And I was like, oh man.
He ordered for you?
When we got there, he was like, I've been here a million times. I love this place. It's like my favorite. And I was like, oh great. Like, what should we get? And he was like, do you want me to just order? And I was like, yeah, cool. So it wasn't like he wasn't like, I'm going to order for you, miss. anyway, so I got that apology.
Did you have the response ready in your head in case he would have said, I want you to know that I'm interested in you?
It just would have been so laugh out loud at that point, Michael. Like, I mean, if that's what he would have said, I would have been like, are you fucking kidding? Like, are you kidding? It's been almost a decade, and you and I don't talk. Like, you don't even know who I am. There's no way he would have said that. And I think I would have said exactly what I just said.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But like, no ill will, and haha, thank you. That's so sweet. I'm flattered.
I just feel like going into those situations, you always have to have that preparation of like, okay, just in case, got to have this rehearsed.
Do you?
Yeah,
I think I do. Maybe I should rehearse things more than I do, but I kind of just like let somebody speak and then I respond how I feel.
Like a real human being, like, who's not pre-calculating everything. Like,
know what Kevin would say? What? He would call that the Roxy Stryer dragon, Jewish dragon blend?
Oh, maybe. I literally thought about nothing going to this. He texted me. He said, do you want to get dinner? I wrote back, yes. That was it. And I was like, okay, ball's in his court. He asked me for dinner. He's going to pick the place. He's going to tell me where to go and when to show up. And I'm just going to show up and eat, you know, and trying not to overthink it, because I've overthought so many things in my life. And it's like, what would that have done?
Yeah.
Probably would have done nothing.
All right. One last question.
Yeah.
So is he going to sign you now?
You know, maybe one day.
Does he represent actors?
Yeah.
He does?
Huge people.
Oh,
massive
Roxy.
People. Yeah. He does very, very well for himself. He's super young. He was promoted to be agent, like, younger than anybody at that company ever was. He's very good at what he does. He's so good at what he does. It was worth getting dinner with him, even if I couldn't find this point, because like, he's just a fucking phenom. Talk about Jewish dragon's blood. Dude is so good at what he does. So yeah, I was thinking not about that, but more like small steps. Like, hey homie, can you help me get verified on Twitter? Because what the fuck? Why can't I get verified, man? There are people out there with like 200 followers that are verified. Twitter, if you're listening.
It's the first world problems that we experience.
Yeah. Michael has first world problems that he wants to talk about, like his phone case and stuff. Yeah. So speaking of first world problems, right before we get to news, something so rude that I just called it a first world problem now that I'm going. But take that back, guys.
Uh-oh.
Rewind. Cut that. Bonjour, you can edit that out, right?
Yeah. This is not live at all.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks so much. This isn't a first world problem. This is something that I came into by watching a show. Should I say what show, or is it going to be too big of a spoiler?
No, do it.
Do it?
Yeah. It's been out for a long time.
To be honest with you, the show that you're about to talk about, I've seen it, and I don't even remember this. It's not that big of a spoiler.
This is the culmination of the whole season.
Okay. Well, there's other great things that happen. No, I love the show, and it's been out for a while, so that's probably why I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But
okay.
My point is, listeners, don't worry. There's way more material. If you haven't seen the show, watch the show.
And I won't
this
say
spoil
which
it.
Character and whatever.
Roxy's got you. Got this, Roxy.
So I was watching Glow. I was binging it, which is a show that I haven't seen that I know. I'm so sorry, Kev, because I know you love that show, and you've been waiting for me to watch it to talk to me about it. But now I finally did, and you're not here. And in one of the episodes, this woman, I won't tell you which character, gets pregnant by a man who she's seen a couple of times, but is not her official man. Mm-hmm. And she goes and she gets an abortion without ever telling him. And it reminded me, this is where it becomes a fucked up first world problem, I guess. It reminds me of the biggest fight that I ever got with my limbo man. We'll just call him Ben. Maybe that's because it's what his name is. The guy that I dated for 3 years, one of the biggest fights we ever got into. We were on our way back from a wedding, and it was like vibes were good, drinks were flowing, and we were doing that thing that couples do in the car, you know, where you ask random questions that are not relevant to anything you're talking about, and
naturally,
that always get you in trouble, like every single time. And we were talking about like, your favorite this, your favorite that. What would you do in this situation? Would you rather this or that? And it came up, something about abortions came up, and I was like, well, you know, if you got me pregnant, I would have an abortion and I wouldn't tell you. And it just kind of came out really quick. And he was like, I'm sorry, what the fuck do you mean? And I was like, you know, like, we're young right now, and if you got me pregnant, I can't have a kid, and I wouldn't want you to have to deal with that, so I would just abort it. And he was like, casually, like that, you would just abort it. You would say nothing to me. And he was so pissed, and we had an hour and a half left in our drive home, and we didn't say a word to each other for the rest of the ride. Like, after he blew up at me, and I was like, it's my body! I'll do with it what I want! Sorry, bonjour, I won't do that again. You won't have to lower my levels. And we had this big fight, and it lasted, like, after we went quiet for that hour and a half, it came up, like, 70 times throughout our relationship again, where he would, like, check in with me and be like, are you pregnant? And I'd be like, why do I look fucking fat today? And he's like, no, I just feel like if I ask, maybe you'll tell me. And I would be like, stop asking me that. And he was like, well, are you? And I'm like, no, God damn it, I'm changing these pants. Like, clearly this is not the right choice.
So to be clear, while okay we are going to have that conversation right now, none of you should have this conversation with your significant others.
Yes, please don't. It's definitely a recipe for disaster. So I was curious from the ladies in the room, if you guys felt a similar way, or if this is like a ludicrous thing to think.
I don't think it's ludicrous at all. No. What I do think is that I try to play this game a lot. Like, what if this happened? What if this happened? Like, for entertainment, and my boyfriend never wants to play along, and I'm always upset by it. I'm like, come on, just have fun. And I'm like, ooh, maybe that's why. Maybe it's just not good to go there at all.
Never good. I feel like your boo, bonjour, would freak the F out as well, though. If he found out that you had an abortion and said nothing... It's like, we don't want to burden
or even just
them.
If you would, if it happened.
Yeah.
I gotta agree with Ben. Ben's totally right in this circumstance.
Okay, but Ben's not super duper Christian. Ben doesn't have a problem with me having an abortion. It's with me not telling him. Michael, your problem would be with the abortion, right?
No, even from like, obviously, I'd have a Christian problem with the abortion. But even from a non-Christian standpoint, I would feel like, I don't know, I feel like I would want to be consulted.
But why?
Because
do you want a kid
like,
right now, Michael?
No.
Okay, so if you got a girl like pregnant would be, with all the sex you're having on the train.
So much sex on this train.
Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't know and she got it aborted?
No.
But you don't know.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I'm thinking that's a service you're doing someone. That's a favor.
No, because at some point it would probably come out. I mean, secrets like that, I feel, don't stay hidden for long. Maybe they come up because the guy invites you to dinner, the girl invites you to dinner in like 30 years. And I just feel like that's something that you would feel is, I don't want to say like possession wise of like it's yours, but at what point does it become both of your kid? And I feel like
after it's born.
Yeah. When it's not inside of one person anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's when it actually becomes both persons.
No, I guess after the point of abortion, so what, like the second trimester, the end, when they say that like you can't abort it anymore because it now has life to it.
I wonder if that's the legal.
There is like a point at which it is no longer.
I think in the States it's 6 months, and in France it's 3 months.
Ooh,
yeah.
I feel like France is supposed to be more liberal than us.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
It's less months. It's actually weeks. I think it's about 20 weeks now. It's either 20 or 22 weeks, depending on the state.
The reason why France is 3 months is because that's when you scientifically you go from like, what's the word? a fetus. No,
embryo to fetus.
See, if we don't know these things, we can't be having kids right now.
Exactly. But I think maybe more so, maybe it's a position thing like Michael is saying, but I think it's maybe as a partner, I feel like your partner would want to drive you, would want to be there for you, would want to be the support, and you are taking that away from them.
But what if you don't need it?
What if you don't need it? It's kind of those catch 22 in the sense where there's, I feel like I'm rather independent, right? And there's times I don't need my partner, but I have to remind myself, like, listen, we're a team. And even though I can do this without them, we're a team. So I have to let them take care of me, even though it's not what I would want to do or what I'm used to.
Krista reports. Weigh in.
No, I just really feel like you're sick. Because, I mean, obviously in that situation, I would feel a lot of guilt. It would be something you would never forget about for the rest of your life.
Definitely. I'm not saying it like it's a light thing. It's an easy thing.
Right. No, absolutely. But I would, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think, yeah, you're saving the other person the guilt and having to think about it all the time, you know?
Even if they disagree with you, I feel like they still would agree with you. Like, even if verbally you're with somebody who's like Michael, who's like, I don't think you should abort it. Mm-hmm. I feel like they wish that you did.
Exactly.
Unless you guys are ready to have kids. Unless it's planned.
Right. So telling them is just giving them the opportunity to be like, no, I'm against this. But they're not.
But they're not.
I think it's a short-term thing that you're happy about, but long-term it will eat you alive.
Like, are you trying? Who?
They're like, nah,
me?
We're good.
People? Who
I
are
think
you talking about?
It will be one of those things that, like, short term, you're like, yeah, no, I'm doing everyone a favor. Like, it's easy. I'm doing everyone a favor. And then long term, the more you think about it, you're like, I feel like I should have told him. I feel like I shouldn't have done this. I feel like, you know, and you have to live with that.
Michael, if you got a girl pregnant and she did have an abortion, would you drive her there?
No.
Okay, I feel like it's about to be like such a worse situation for you then.
Not even just to try to convince her not to do it on the way?
No, I would want to have the child.
I know you would want to have the child, but if she decided that she was not going to have the child, which is her legal right in most states, you wouldn't take her?
No, I would not want to support and be a part of that decision to, in my opinion, murder a child.
So, yeah, see, and that is just the kind of self-righteousness that your girlfriend is going to try to avoid. Yeah. Okay?
That's definitely why she does not tell you, bro. Like, she is not telling you. If she's doing it, that's... And, like, I thought about that, and I was like, honestly, I think Ben is the kind of person who, like, might try to convince me to keep it. And, like, if you don't want that, then you've got to just do it. Maybe you tell them afterwards. I don't know. It gets murky from there.
Yeah, that could be worse.
On this light note...
Just
Michael,
don't get pregnant.
You want to don't get pregnant unless you're ready to have the kids. And if you do, don't tell your boyfriend about it. Michael, bring us to the news.
Well, let's just go on people making questionable decisions.
Ooh, and, good transition, my friend.
Just start talking about some Kanye West because, well, why not with everything that he's going on in his life right now? We'll get not the news music going, Rox, because what did you say you wanted tonight?
I want a Kanye takeover because we are pro-Kanye here. Oh, gosh. Don't take my word for that.
We're listening to the Graduation album, circa 2007. So Kanye West, certainly in the headlines lately, ended a big break from Twitter and has been talking all, as we talked last week, about his support for Donald Trump, his love for Donald Trump. They are brothers. And he actually went on two different interviews, with one with Charlamagne the God and one yesterday with TMZ. The first one went pretty well. The second one probably should have skipped out because he said, quote, 400 years of slavery sounds like a choice. His full quote, when you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Yeah, you was there for 400 years, and it's all of you. It's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. Slavery is to blacks as the Holocaust is to Jews. Prison is something that unites the races, blacks and whites, that were the human race. So obviously, this was a huge firestorm, and people at TMZ called him out. People online called him out. Will I Am, a lot of other people really taking an issue with this, saying that, what are you talking about? Slavery was a choice. Not at all. What do you guys think he meant? Do you guys think that there is something wrong with him? How did you interpret this action?
Well, bonjour. You listened to the entire TMZ interview, correct?
Yeah, I actually listened to both. So I listened to the entire TMZ one, which was as Michael's stating, just rather shocking. The most shocking was definitely what he was saying, but more importantly, there was no thought and there was no real logic. It was just going in all different directions. He was being asked questions and he wasn't really responding to them, and there was just, it was just thought upon thought, and it was just so hard to keep up with what he was saying. And as Michael mentioned, prior to that, he did an interview with Charlemagne the God, which is about an hour and 45 minutes. That interview took place before any of the Trump tweets, before him wearing the Make America Great hat again, before any of that. That interview, I actually really recommend people watch, because he has a lot of good thoughts, and he's eloquent, and he's really explaining something, and his thought process is there. He'll go on a tangent and be like, wait, I know I'm talking about this, but I want us to go back to your question. So you can follow the whole thing, versus TMZ, you're like, what is going on?
Why do you think just a few weeks ago he was able to present himself so well, and now he's all tongue-tied?
Well, one interview was edited, the other's live.
That's true, but on top of it, honestly, maybe this is speculation. He kind of alluded to it as well. I honestly think he for the TMZ, he was definitely drugged out.
Drugs, because he's on drugs.
He has to be. Absolutely. And he said it. He was like, you know, I'm prescribed opiates. I didn't take one today, but I took a 911 last night because I didn't want to prove you guys right, is what he says to the TMZ crew. I don't know what a 911 I popped a 911 last night. I don't know what kind of drug that is.
I would take that, and I could be wrong here, as an emergency one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that,
ooh, something that's fast acting.
You needed to do it quickly. Like, yeah.
So is that an opiate? Opioid?
Opioid?
An opioid. An opioid, as in a painkiller, is what that would be talking about. I would be guessing is what he was saying, which stay in your system for quite a bit and would still be in his system the next day. But it depends on what he took. If it's a slow release, if it's a, it, and how he took it, honestly. Like, a lot of people take these opioids orally as prescribed, and a lot of people crush them up and take them through their nose.
Right, and I think maybe him being on drugs is an issue, but I think being off of drugs can be part of the issue as well. He spoke in the TMZ interview about he had liposuction, he got addicted to painkillers, and that after his mental breakdown, he was prescribed a whole slew of pills. We can assume those were for pain and psychotic...
breakdowns and whatnot.
Yeah, yep. Medications for who knows what. And he said himself, too, that he's taken himself off some of them, and then he takes one sometimes if he feels crappy. And
it's
anyone
very...
who's self-medicated and trying to control that on their own accord is headed for trouble.
It's
and I think that's
confusing.
What we're
it's very confusing when you are on drugs. Like, life is very confusing. And what actually, when you don't feel pain in the right ways, which is what painkillers do, they take away your pain. Mm-hmm. It's not just your physical pain. It can be your mental pain, too. And not knowing what hurts anymore, not knowing what's real anymore, it definitely fucks a person up. And I feel like he is a, I don't want to use the word victim of this because he's doing it to himself, but he is a culprit. This is a culprit of that, I guess. I think that what's interesting about what he's saying here, though, is I can picture our captain, Kevin Undergaro, hearing this, and I do feel like Kevin always says everything is a choice. And now, maybe, Michael, when you said what was he trying to say here, maybe what he was trying to say was everybody has a choice in their own life. I guess he was not taking into account the fact that they weren't, or maybe he was talking about how they could either decide to be here or take their own life.
So he said in the wake of the comments, he posted to Twitter once again, did a series of tweets saying, once again, I'm being attacked for presenting new ideas.
Ugh.
And then he quoted Harriet Tubman saying, quote, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. So he is really saying that he was talking about the mentality of being in prison and not being able to break out, not being able to get out of the rut that you're in, I assume.
At some point, though, don't we want to not interpret what these people are saying and just say, shut the fuck up, they were goddamn slaves?
Right, like, he is just being a martyr.
Yeah,
that is it.
Like,
he wants attention. That's
it's
all.
Just so, it's frustrating because it's like, when you hear this, it's like everybody's like, is he okay? Is he on drugs? How? What did he really mean? Let's try to think about this. And it's like, homie's saying that these people are fucking having a choice in their own slavery. That's a rude as shit thing to say. And like, it's mean and it's wrong and it's not PC, but more than that, it's not correct. Like, not just politically correct, it's not correct. It's not accurate. So
it just shows that he is in a position of such power and people do look up to him that you need to be so careful with what you say. He was trying to figuring out what he said. I don't really think he truly means what those words meant, but you don't have that luxury when you're in that power position. You have to play a perfect game.
But Bonjour, that's pretty much what John Legend had said to him. If you guys saw this, John Legend texted Kanye after the MAGA stuff, after Make America Great Again hat situation, and was like, dude, it's JL, just wanted to reach out and say, like, I love you, but the way that you're doing this is not sitting well in the African-American community, and I want you to think about these actions because you have such a massive fan base, and it does affect the way that they think and they vote, and I don't think that that's going to fall very well upon them, and we want to be positive influences in this community, et cetera, et cetera. And Kanye not only responded by saying, you're trying to restrict the way that I think, but he also fucking tweeted it.
Tweeted the conversation.
Tweeted
a screenshot.
A screenshot of it. And then the next day, I guess they were at Chrissy Teigen's
baby shower
altogether. And Kanye posted a picture of him and John Legend being like, see, we're still bros. And it's like, what is going on in your mind that this is reality? Mm-hmm. Where you can just, somebody messages you a really sweet message, you tweet it out and you like, tweeted out to offend him, and then the next day you take a picture with him and tweet that? I don't get it.
I think that shows how much power and clout Kanye has, especially in the music business, that someone like John Legend, who would be fine if Kanye said, hey, don't listen to John Legend's music anymore, people still would, but someone like him even is still walking on eggshells saying, hey, dude, maybe you should rethink this, instead of what the fuck?
Yeah, instead of what the fuck?
You know? Is there any part of you guys that thinks, is this a publicity stunt? Is this all planned to be able to get his name out there, keep his name out
100%.
There, and that we're being duped?
It totally is, but he's doing this publicity stunt because of what's going on in his brain, because of the pills being on and off the pills.
I don't know if it's a publicity stunt as much as him enjoying the attention that he's receiving each time he does it. You know, like every time he does it, he gets a little bit more satisfaction from it because he's getting all the attention. Like, legitimately, if you look at any press outlet that covers that kind of thing, it's all they're covering. Mm-hmm. Every 30 minutes, there's a Kanye update. And it's like, dude, I can just watch his Twitter to know what's going on. But everybody's talking about it. So, and you've got my 92-year-old grandfather talking about it.
Really?
Yes.
What does he have to say?
He was, well, first of all, he didn't know who Kanye West was.
Whoa, what?
Oh, but that's an interesting take on.
Right. He was like, who is this rapper that all of a sudden this and this and talking to me about it, my Grammy and Popo, because they're talking about it on news outlets. Like, and that's how they're getting their news. Mm-hmm. So it's very strange. I hope he's well and gets well. And I hope he stops saying ignorant shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because ignorant shit shouldn't be getting press, but here we are, a show that talks about things, and we're talking about it, because how can you not?
Yeah, you know, Kanye, spend a couple days at home with the family. Yeah. Lay low for a bit.
Yeah, Kim has been incredibly supportive, I will say. That's a tough wife job to have.
Yeah.
And sources, she's handling it very gracefully.
Sources said today that she will fight publicly for him till the end.
Yeah. Absolutely. Agreed.
And I think that...
Well, she should.
And I think she should.
Yeah.
I'm all about standing by your person.
Yeah, I don't know I agree with that, but I know that she will. She is the type that will, absolutely.
I'm all about standing by your person because you picked that person. So if you had picked that person, I know you would have stood by. You never would have picked him.
Right.
Okay.
You know, and she did. She picked him. So
that's true.
Or leave. But
that's not going to happen either.
No. So and I think she's doing the right thing. Michael, what else?
Well, another leader who has an extreme legacy in the African-American community, also kind of taking a hard time right now, could be sentenced to several years in jail. He was just convicted guilty, something we've been following a long time. Bill Cosby, convicted on charges that he drugged and molested a girl back in 2004 at his home. Now, lawyers have argued both ways. It was actually a mistrial the first time. They couldn't come into agreement. This was the second trial. This time, jurors said that he was guilty on three different counts, and he faces up to 10 years for each of those counts. Now, he's currently 80 years old, and he is being held...
Which is insane within itself, by the way.
Nuts.
That's fucking crazy. I would have guessed that, I would have said 60.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, yeah. Keep going.
So he is free right now, out on bail. It's a $1 million bail. Sentencing will probably occur in the next 3 to 6 months. People are wondering exactly how long he'll be sentenced for. One of the jurors, though, spoke out and said that it was actually Cosby's own words that really did it in for him this time, saying, quote, Mr. Cosby admitted to giving these quaaludes to women, young women, in order to have sex with them. That was in a previous interview. Do you guys think that the jury got this one right?
By saying that he is guilty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I am surprised, though.
Why?
I'm surprised. I didn't think it was going to go this way.
Because it just seems like wealthy, famous people get off most of the time. And because he's gotten away with it for so long.
Yeah, because it's more that for me. It's just been so long, and these kind of cases are so fucking hard to prove the longer the amount of time that has passed. It's so hard because all evidence, all hard evidence, what they consider is gone. Remember when we had Mari Fagel on, she was talking to us, the lawyer Mari Fagel was talking to us about how sexual assault or sexual harassment or sexual molestation cases just get harder every single day. And this is not days we're talking about. This is years.
Decades.
And, yeah, decades. And so many cases have been thrown out because of how long it has been. So it just didn't feel like it was going to happen. But like Kevin Undergaro has talked about, sometimes they try to make examples of these cases. And this isn't even like trying to make an example because he fucking deserves this. But I do think this was so public and so watched that they knew he couldn't get off scot-free. So, yeah, damn right I think that it's right. We'll see how long he actually gets and what actually happens to him.
Do you think anyone under the age of, I'll say 15, knows who Bill Cosby is?
Like, nope.
Who he is?
No, and they don't care. Because the show's been taken off the air. It used to rerun constantly, but in the last few years since this has come to light,
yeah,
it hasn't been.
Some of the actors were also like complaining, saying that's a source of income. Now we're completely royalty. Screwed.
Could have
no
been
royalties.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they don't... Are you asking about people under the age of 15 if they knew who he was prior to this announcement? Because I feel like this was all over Snapchat and like all of the...
Yeah, I would say know who he is in the context of society.
No. I think that this might be the first that some people are learning of him, which is
crazy.
As it should be. It definitely will affect his legacy. And this is how he should be known. And I always think about when I sit here, what would Sir Undergaro say? Can I call him Sir? Do you have to be knighted to do that?
I feel like he would like that.
Sir Undergaro. And I think that he would say that one mistake, one thing is not what makes somebody a career, and hopefully you can remember them. But I do think he would agree on this situation. This is not, it's not even like it's one, and it's not small. It's dozens, and they're massive. And if this is how he's remembered, then it's unfortunate for the people that were around him in his life that could have benefited from things like residuals for a very long time, but fuck this piece of shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Screw
Again,
him.
And faces up to 30 years in jail. People not sure exactly, obviously, at age 80, how long they would actually put him away for. They certainly show leniency, usually, for people who are upwards of that age.
He should spend the rest of his
health.
Life there. He should, I think.
You're not getting an opposition from me. Moving on to a big change happening in one organization that has an extreme legacy. Now switching up that legacy, the Boy Scouts changing the name of their flagship program. Now, they had already announced that they would start allowing girls into the Boy Scouts. Now they are officially changing the name of their Cub Scout program. To Boy Scouts of America. The umbrella organization will retain its name, Boy Scouts of America. However, the Cub Scouts will now be known as a different name, just the Scouts BSA. And they are really promoting this with Scout Me In is their new slogan. And starting in February of next year, they will now allow for girls to join the Cub Scouts. Girl Scouts, not too happy about that, actually put out their own tweet today saying, we're the best program for girls. We're totally girl-led. We have all these success stories. What do you guys think about this move?
I am a little nervous about it. As a Girl Scout of 13 years, I was obsessed with the Girl Scouts. I'm Team Girl Scout. I'm concerned because I do think that a lot of parents try to be very PC and are like, oh, we should put our kids in the program that allows for all genders. Or more importantly, for the parents that are super PC that are like, my kid might be gender neutral and we want to put them in a place where they do not have to be described as boy or girl, mm-hmm. which is good and fine. And I support that. Yeah. Rah, rah, go you guys. But it's also when you're growing up, there's shit that you can't talk about with the other sex or you feel like you can't. And the Girl Scouts was really cool when we were growing up. Like we would sit and like learn things about like, I don't know, things that you'd feel stupid talking about, like about your periods and stuff. That sounds so gross, but things that you were struggling with or going through or like when you were what bras to buy and when you're getting boobs or even if it was things that boys could talk about, like making fires and tying knots, things that you felt okay being dirty and weird about because you were with a bunch of girls and you weren't trying to impress anybody.
Yeah, it's your community.
Yeah, it's just it's different. And I think that especially if your kid's in a co-ed school and it's not like they're never in, they're only interacting with one sex, because it is important to interact with other sexes, obviously.
Of course.
I really like that there was Boy Scouts and there was Girl Scouts. And if this negatively affects Girl Scouts, then that will be sad. I'll be sad.
I never saw this, I guess, in this light until today, reading about the statistics, but I think this was totally a move to get more members. And I never realized the competition between Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and the declining enrollment. Reading today that there was at 1.4 million participants in Boy Scouts of America. Now they claim 2.3 million members. And just 5 years ago, they had 300,000 more. They had 2.6 million. So I think it really is almost a fight just to get more members to keep the organization alive.
I know, and I'm sure Boy Scouts is fine, but I don't give a shit about them. I only care about the Girl Scouts.
Hey, the Girl Scouts have better cookies.
We have better cookies, and our badges were harder to earn, and we were more inclusive and less religious, and there were less incidents that happened, and Girl Scouts rock.
You want to know something that you're going to majorly judge me for? I almost don't want to say it, but I really
want
to.
You were a Boy Scout?
No. I don't buy Girl Scout cookies because their proceeds benefit Planned Parenthood.
I actually almost bought two boxes this week. I almost brought a box here today. Would you have eaten one?
Oh, I still eat them. Oh. Yeah, I just don't buy. Plus, I can get the knockoff version at Dollar General or Big Lots for like $1.50.
Planned Parenthood isn't just about preventing pregnancies, correct though, Michael? Like, they do a lot of really great things for female health and wellness.
No, I know they do, but I think other organizations do it better that I would like to support.
Well, and in the same way that, like, that maybe makes me more inclined to buy Girl Scout cookies, be like, oh, hey, it's going for a good cause, not just my big fat butt. I can respect that he wouldn't want to patronize them for the same reason.
Oh, God, it's so hard. I respect Michael as a person, but some of his personal choices are just so fucking goddamn hard. They're against everything I believe. I love you, Michael. Ugh. Move us out of here.
Well, we will do two more stories. The first one, I gotta know. First, I'll start it off. Was NSYNC the best boy band of all time?
Yes.
You liked them better than Backstreet
Yes.
Boys?
So how excited were you when they got their Walk of Fame star this week?
Very.
I couldn't believe that JT was there. That was incredible. I was surprised that Justin Timberlake showed up for that. When I looked at that picture, and like he looks stoked. Does he have his own star?
No, that's a good question.
So maybe he was just as excited as the rest of the team.
It's the first star with a star within the star. Do you guys know that?
No.
Because how do you spell NSYNC?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. With the little star instead of the apostrophe.
Exactly. So now there's a star in the star. First time ever.
Well, I'll tell you guys, I drove past this as it was going on, and I was like, what the hell is going on? I live right near Hollywood and Highland. These things happen all the time. They're huge stars that have it in this area because it's kind of at the end. So that's where the new ones always go. So I see small groups of people sometimes. I'm like, oh, who is it? Who's getting a star? This time it was like full on whole street shut down.
Wow.
Tons of security, police,
and
just
a celebrities
huge crowd.
Or you couldn't see?
No, I was kind of driving past quick, but it was definitely a scene. Mm. It looked like TRL back in the day.
And really? So it happened on April 30th, which any NSYNC fan, knows matches with their song. It's gonna be May.
That's so good.
The day before. Did you guys know, take a guess in case you haven't actually looked at the copy, how many total stars there are on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Don't look, Roxy. You're looking down.
No, I already saw and read it. I'm right now
Chrissy
trying to think
reports.
What I would have thought.
There has to be a few hundred.
Juliet?
A couple hundred? I'm going to say 197.
Yeah, maybe 200.
2,634 stars.
I think I would have guessed like 800. There's so many more than I... They're just all over there. Yeah.
I mean, that goes down quite a ways.
Yeah. And not only down, but in side streets, too. There's some, like, cutoffs.
The lesser known, lesser stars.
Well, it actually...
They're not lesser.
At this point, you really almost can buy a star. If you're famous enough, you can organize enough. That's really how it works. I don't want to be a major spoiler, but you have to raise a certain amount of money to be able to buy the star.
But there's also people who can't. Like, wasn't there that whole thing a couple years ago about reality stars not being able to have their own stars, and didn't Snooki raise hell about that or something?
I think you maybe have to qualify for certain things, but at a certain point it is, can you raise the thousands upon thousands of dollars to be able to purchase the star?
Yeah, well, and it's not a coincidence that every person who gets a star happens to have some huge project going on or a movie coming out. That's always the case.
Yeah, because they back it up. So if this happened with The Rock, right? He had a movie coming out, so it's the studios who paid for the star because they knew it'd be a huge publicity.
How many groups of people have stars?
Yeah, like how many little symbols are there?
No,
like
no,
categories?
No, like, no. How many groups of people, as in not a specific person, but a group? Like NSYNC is a group.
Oh.
I can't remember a time where that's happened before. I know, I'm sure it
has. So the NSYNC star is actually in front of the offices of concert promoter Live Nation, which is also where Boyz II Men, New Kids on the Block, and Backstreet Boys already have stars. So there's at least four now.
It is crazy that Boyz II Men... not that Boyz II Men, that New Kids on the Block got a star before NSYNC did, right?
I would say the same thing, but I feel like women about 5-10 years older than us would, like, slap us in the face for saying that.
Really?
Yeah, about New Kids on the Block?
Yeah,
us.
When they came back, I remember, like, women about 10 years older than me going so out of their minds.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe then. Maybe.
If Michael, you want to check that out, just go to 7080 Hollywood Boulevard, Los Angeles.
On my way.
I walk there every day.
Final story. I'm so intrigued about this because we're all on this social media app. Facebook now says it's going to be offering a dating part of their website. They have not specifically released so many details. They said it will be coming out later this year. They'll be rolling it out, and I think everywhere around December. But they're going to be offering their services for online dating. Obviously, Facebook has several billion members. I read it's 1.3 billion daily active users, or 1.6 billion daily active users, which means one-fifth of the entire planet is on Facebook every single day.
Mm-hmm. And that's why this makes so much sense.
Would you take part? Obviously, I know you are married.
So many dating apps use Facebook as their algorithm to match people up.
Right, because it's built in.
Based on mutual friends and all that stuff. So I'm sure Facebook's like... Hey, we need some good publicity right now because, like, this trial has been going on way too long, too much stuff. But B, people are already making money off this. We're leaving money on the table right now. We've got to be doing that. So it makes sense.
And this will be going out to your non-friends. For people who are wondering who you will actually match with, it's people who you are not friends with.
Right.
Right. See, that's my major concern because I watch a little show on MTV called Catfish.
Mm.
And I know there are hundreds of millions of fake profiles on Facebook. And it doesn't seem like anyone who's reaching out for a relationship there is real.
Right. I would definitely think of all the dating... I'm not a dating app gal, and there's nothing against it. My brother met his lovely wife on a dating app.
Oh, really?
And they're an amazing couple, and I have a lot of friends who do them. It's just not necessarily for me. I meet a lot of people from work and socially. I'm a pretty social cat, and it's not something that I would feel uncomfortable... messaging with somebody for a long period of time prior to meeting them for me personally. But I feel like of all of the dating apps, a Facebook one would make me feel more comfortable because presumably you would have mutual friends and they would have matched all of your interests there. But then again, if you're somebody who doesn't update your profile very often, they might be like matching 14-year-old Roxy with somebody. And 14-year-old Roxy is very, very different than current-day Roxy. Mm-hmm. So that could get us into a mess.
All right, I'm going to go there.
And isn't Facebook already basically a dating app? Aren't they all? Isn't anything online?
Yeah, kind
been
of.
Being used as a motive for people to...
I get those DMs all day.
Yeah.
So weird.
Get it, girl.
Yeah, right. I'm sure you do, too.
All right, so I'm going to go there, going to open up a fun segment here that if people go to your profile, what could they take from it, and would they be interested in dating?
Ooh.
So let's just open it up with host Roxy. I mean, right? She has no control over how the show is going right now.
I mean, I know she always looks really hot in her photos.
You're on my Instagram, though.
Well, I don't want to show anyone's Facebook because Facebook obviously is very public or very private. I feel like certain people's profiles. So let's do Instagram.
Okay.
And also, doesn't Facebook own Instagram anyway? So they're basically the same
they
thing.
Do. So they're basically the same
thing.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So let's go. We're going to pull up Roxy's Instagram. And
the first thing you would know is that I host the Tomorrow Show, so that's good.
Is that a new picture?
I just posted. You just took that picture of me, Michael.
Oh, my goodness.
Roxy,
everybody go 199 likes. Look at you.
She's making it look like she's holding the moon from our logo, and she did it perfectly. You guys have to pull this up and look at it.
At Roxy Stryer, bitches. I don't know. So what do you guys think? I can't judge my own profile to know if I'd date me.
So do you judge someone, if you ever go to their profile, based on likes? Do you ever see, oh, how many likes, how many comments are they getting?
No, I don't think we're young enough to do that, but people do.
Really?
They're younger than us.
Really? You don't?
No.
You do?
I mean, I take a gander, and if there's like 10, I'm like, ugh, this person doesn't seem to be very like outgoing. And
well, less likes means you're less outgoing?
Well, I think so.
Why would that... Where's the correlation there?
Because you would probably have more acquaintances and more friends.
I don't know.
I'm not saying that they need to have thousands upon thousands. I'm just saying if I go to someone's and it's like 15, I'm like, I probably want someone who's more socially engaged.
Here's what I judge on, not based on likes, but something that I cannot stand, and this isn't a good time to check out mine because my last four pictures have been solo pictures, I believe. But I cannot stand people who only post pictures of themselves. That, to me, is like, Like, only, like, hot pose, like, I'm not doing anything. There's no background. I'm not doing, like, I'm just, like, looking good standing there.
But I'm so hot.
But I'm so hot. But I'm so hot. Like, if you're going to be somebody who posts a picture of yourself, one of my best friends has, like, 250,000 followers. She's in the industry. She only posts pictures of herself, but she's always doing something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm hosting this. I'm on this set. I'm doing this. That's cool. But like, if you're in the same white background over and over again by yourself, is that you?
It's so yes, Christy and Reports? It's so funny that you mentioned
oh my God.
That.
Pull up Christy Reports.
Well, because I was just thinking about this because I was looking
at. Oh, girl, you're my least favorite. Then
all my pictures are almost of me, but for me, it's because when I'm out doing something or I'm with people, I never take pictures. I literally have.
Let's see what you got.
My husband and I have been together for 13 years. I have like 10 pictures of us together.
Pause. Your most recent picture is a picture of all of us at Sean Whalen's show that we talked about earlier.
Oh.
Your next to picture of that is you doing X-Pac 1, 2, 3. 360.
Right.
Next to that is with AfterBuzz host Grant Rutter doing his show. Like, are you kidding me?
No, show the it really is bad. Go down just a tad.
No.
It's pretty much all me,
even
at least for like the last year.
You're interviewing people, step and repeats, you're active, you're at the mountain.
See, but it's just me.
No.
It's just me.
What are you
me
talking
and Gretchen
about?
Rossi.
No, my God.
Me. See, that's what I'm talking about. You keep going back, it's all me and it's all Facetune.
No, you. Oh,
look at
well,
that.
I love Facetune too. For you guys who don't know what that
yeah,
is,
it's really
the
obvious
editing
on
app
the
that
big
we all
right
have
now.
To use. In order to make ourselves look hot, you don't have to use it. You look amazing as is.
Wait, Roxy, people Photoshop themselves on Instagram? It's not all real?
Only the best of us.
See, they're all just me.
No, you're at the pool. The first, like, 10 pictures were you with other people. We're all you with other people. Let's check out Michael.
Yeah.
What's Michael up to?
Let's judge and ridicule the real MC.
You are? Well, Michael, you do a lot of solo pics, I won't lie, and a lot of shirtless pics, which I don't mind.
I do not do that many anymore.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Michael, on Michael's profile, every third picture is a quote of him that he quotes himself. I've thought about this before, Michael. I wonder about the quotes of yourself. Maybe we should include some quotes of, like, inspirational people also. Caring less isn't careless.
And don't tell me you didn't get that from somewhere. Come on.
No. Nope. All my quotes, I think except for like one or two, are actually original thoughts
caring
or original ways
careless.
To say them.
Caring less isn't careless.
And I mean that in terms of sometimes you can force something by caring about it and like stressing it. And you can almost...
I think on this one you're trying too hard. Show me the next one. Okay, see, this is a good one. I see that you're working. Now I see you're with puppies. You've got a lot of good ones. And you've got pictures with cute girls. You seem fun. You're always smiling. All right, this one says, if you quit, you deprive the world of the joy the future you provides. Do it for them.
This is actually a
Bonjour, thoughts on this one? Doesn't move the needle for you?
I still don't know what that means, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll explain it to you one day. All right, now he's wearing a smiley shirt that says, I can help. You look like a helpful Honda guy, but you're hot, so you can get away with it. You and a guy hosting. Okay, another quote. Everything is doable, but not everything is beneficial. Don't let good things keep you from great things. Christy reports?
You could have done away with that whole first sentence, but I still don't understand what you're talking about.
What's the correlation between the two?
Yeah.
So it actually stems from a Bible verse.
If you have to explain it, my man.
It stems from a Bible verse that talks about everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So like in your life, you have a lot of things that you can do.
What's your profile say?
But it doesn't mean that you should do.
Let's see what the profile says. So here's what we know from Michael. He's definitely cute. He likes dogs and people. Romans 12:2, so something about God or the Bible. Award-winning TV host, that's baller. Senior brand manager, that's awesome. At the apparel company. Former world's youngest person. Oh, so that's a joke. That's clever. I like that. And then it says all the places he's lived. So he's worldly of sorts. All right, I'm in on. I like it, Michael. I think it fits your brand.
Are we ready to check out Juliet's?
Yeah, we got to go to Bonjour. Mine's, by the way, Christy wouldn't amazing. Date you based off of that, though. I can tell.
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to.
Oh,
yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't think I'd date him either, but I'd be his friend, which I am. Oh, my God. Who's that really cute girl in your first picture? What?
Oh, and also an expertly taken photograph, if I do say so.
So it's
myself.
A picture Ooh. Of Bonjour and myself taken by yours truly, Christy reports. I think that's cute. You look fun. You're smiling. You're hot. All right, what else we got?
I like the blurriness, too. Sometimes if you post a blurry photo, you're like, this was actually a fun time.
We honestly try to pose for a long time, and there's no picture of us not laughing. So
you could have whitened my teeth more, but it's fine.
Yeah.
All right, here she's looking off into the distance, but she knows the camera's still there. She looks hot, and her boobies look great.
There, yeah.
Yeah, from Cleve. How old are you here?
19.
I'm like, oh, which one is you?
Is it throwback?
Yeah.
Okay, you look fun. You've got beer in your hand. That's fun. You're dateable.
It's an M&M cup.
Was there beer in there at age 19 in France?
Fucking A. There's beer at age 14 in France.
Whoa.
I like Eminem, but we can't talk about him while we're listening to Kanye. Oh, picture of her wearing her AfterBuzz TV shirt, which I took. Love this. I think Bonjour is kicking all of our butts right now.
Yeah.
A picture of her hugging
she
somebody.
She looks like so much fun.
Yeah, she does look really fun.
I'd hang out with this person.
What's her profile say? She's really cute. I'm French and stuff. All right, you can work on that.
Short and sweet, though. You don't like the short and sweet?
Well, here's the deal. Because, like, I get that we're here for a dating profile, so maybe that would work for me. But for business, if I see this, I'm like, I want to know you're a badass producer and a host. And I'm French and stuff doesn't say that, but I would date you for sure.
I'd go on that first date and see how it went. I'd take the risk. Because anyone you look at and you're like, you don't want to like think too far ahead.
Yeah. So of the four of us, we are all dating Bonjour?
Yeah.
100%.
Fucking A.
Can we do a couple prior Tomorrow Show guests? Shout out a name. I want to see how this works out.
Who we got?
Lala Kent.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Lala Kent. Lala Kent, prior not only guest, but prior guest host of this show. I'm actually in a uniform she may or may not have been in before.
Ooh.
Feeling very close to our girl, Lala Kent. Give
and
Lala.
Also, one of very few people whose Instagram pages I actually go and look at. Go and, like, seek out every once in a while. I'll be like, hey, what's that Lala up to?
Vanderpump Rules star. I was actually looking at this the other day. She's got pictures of her with people, of her doing Vanderpump stuff. Then there's this picture on the right that it's an obituary picture of somebody. She doesn't mention
so
who.
Her passed.
Yeah, he just passed. They had a memorial today.
Oh, my God, that's awful. I feel awful for her.
64 years old.
What was interesting about this picture, and not to move away from that topic because that is sad, but I saw nobody commented on it. There were so many likes, and there was no comments. I feel like it's always weird. Nobody knows what to say.
No, I think she does that sometimes. You can get rid of comments.
She disabled the comments, yeah. It looks like.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So she's done that with pictures that she's posted of her and her boyfriend, and you see a bunch of likes and no comments. Considering her following, it's just that she disabled it.
Oh, that's so sad. And it's interesting in her paragraph about him that she doesn't mention that it's her dad. Maybe she just didn't want weird comments to...
I think she had a couple posts. Mm. There were a few different ones where she said a few different things.
I don't know if you go on a date with somebody, if you message them on Facebook date after they're going through a hard time, I think you give them a little space.
For sure.
She's like a weird time to message her. But her other shit, I mean, she's obviously sexy as hell and fun. Let's go to somebody else. We gotta leave our girl Lala. One last person who would be a fun one. Who's a dude that was fun? That
oh, I was gonna say yeah. Amber Rose.
Yeah, we could check out Amber Rose. See if we date her. Well, Kevin always says that crazy is good in bed. So if it's anything like what I think it will look like, then probably we'd date her.
Oh yeah.
See, here's the deal though. I don't like these solo doing nothing pics.
But she's promoting stuff.
What is she promoting?
Yeah, you know how much money she probably made off those?
She's promoting her boobies. Yeah, she's hot for sure. But is hot a good enough reason to date somebody? I just don't know. She's cute, though. Damn, she was a great guest. Michael, I know why you brought her name up, because she wanted to take that V card, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Yeah. Oh, there's one of a kid. I never know on dating apps if you're supposed to post a picture with a kid, because if you do they think it's your kid?
But this is her kid.
Yeah, I know.
I would think that on a dating app, though. Because why else? What else would be the point of posting your photo with some kid?
Because like a niece or a nephew, a lot of times people post pictures with like, do you ever notice? Like my friends will send me screenshots of their dating apps all the time, and it'll be like somebody with like two kids and a dog. And I'm like, is that their family or like?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
No? So we're anti it?
But no.
If you do have a kid, should you post with your kid?
I mean...
Or do you try to...
If you're trying to get a date, no.
I think it depends on the person. If you're a type of person who's like, you know what, you're going to find out. I want it all out there. I don't want to waste my time. If you don't want to be with someone that has kids, you definitely don't want to be with me. So let's just keep it moving.
I'm curious if you guys at home, would you guys use the Facebook dating app? Make sure you leave us a comment on iTunes and let us know. Also on YouTube, we read those comments, and tweet us at The Tomorrow Show to let us know if you would use this. And also from the profiles you saw tonight, which one of us do you totally want to bang? But in a good way. You know,
with love and light, all those blessings.
So as we're closing out right now, quick weekend stuff. Anything going on? Christy reports.
Yeah. So this weekend, my mother is coming to visit all the way from, you know, Podunk, Minnesota.
Dang.
This is a woman who literally has never done anything impromptu in her life. Like, we always plan. We talk usually when she's going to come visit. We talk about it for like 6 months until it actually happens.
Ooh. Does it stress you out to have somebody come stay with you?
It would. It totally would, because I would want to clean my whole apartment, do all that stuff, but I just moved in, so it's already clean.
Ooh.
And that's always the thing I stress about and that I hate. Like, it makes me not even want to have guests. I'm like, I don't want to clean and whatever. But no, with her, it's already, like, I'm good to go with the apartment, and I don't know what we'll do because we don't have plans, but we always have just a fantastic time when she comes to visit. She's into all the fun stuff like I am, the Real Housewives of Vanderpump Rules and all that, so we love to go to Villa Blanca and Sur and Bump, and, you know, we've been on the TMZ tour, and we go to Hollywood and Highland. And
ooh, you do that touristy stuff.
I've been on the TMZ tour 3 times, girl.
Just for shits and giggles?
Yeah.
I love that.
With different people that come to visit, and yeah, so it's going to be a fun little girls' weekend.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Bonjour.
Is she going to see the NSYNC star? Is your mom an NSYNC
fan? I mean, we'll probably walk right past it.
Michael. That was worth stopping my flow to make sure you got that question, and I agree. It was very important.
And worth stopping again, because when I wanted the NSYNC Christmas album about 20 years ago, I posted photos of it all over our house.
Ooh.
I, like, printed off pictures of it.
So
she definitely remembers NSYNC, yeah.
Didn't make that hint clear enough.
No, and I got it.
Bonjour, any weekend plans?
I am going to Vegas.
Woo-hoo! For fun or for work?
For fun.
Damn.
Yeah.
Are you going to get strippers?
I might be the stripper. That usually is what happens.
Who are you going with? Lady strip?
Yeah, lady strip. So it's going to be fun. Just a bunch of girlfriends, which is always a good time. So I'll have updates on Monday, tell you all about the craziness.
Well, we won't be back here until Wednesday.
We won't be back until Wednesday, of course. That's when our show is now. Now that we're in the new season. Thank you, Roxy.
Yeah.
Every time I've gone to Vegas, for fun, not for work. I've lost my voice, so we'll see. Hopefully this does not happen again.
Maybe we can, like, convince you to do something really crazy there. We haven't had a crazy, like, Roxy Stryer bachelorette crazy type story in a long time on this show.
Yeah, I'm open to ideas. What
maybe
do
I should put drugs in your bag.
I'm all for it. What kind of drugs are we talking about? I'm not going to do those opiates after seeing Connie. That's where I draw the line.
No, that's not a Vegas drug. Those aren't.
If anyone sees Juliet on the strip screaming about slavery or anything else controversial, you'll know Roxy put drugs in her bag.
No, we need like an ecstasy cocaine type drug. You don't want to do downers when you're in Vegas, man. You won't leave your room. That's a whole different kind of dirty Vegas trip. Michael, any plans?
Oh, I am getting out of Dodge, getting out of cell phone coverage, and going camping.
Oh, so you won't have to worry about any of those awkward phone calls, Roxy.
I really love camping. No, I wanted to make fun of them, but are you going to find any of the Boy Scouts and try to convince them to leave my Girl Scouts alone?
I might take some Boy Scouts training tips to be able to like light a fire, but I'll probably just bring a match.
I feel like you don't know how to light a fire, Michael?
Well, I mean, I know how with a match, but don't you learn how to like flint really just...
I feel like that's something you would know. It's disappointing.
I know how to build a fire.
Bonjour just went from wanting to date you based off your profile to learning that, and there is no second date.
You can't make fire? I'm done.
This is the place where I went last time camping that I was offered several different types of drugs.
Ooh.
So maybe I will probably be offered again.
There actually is something true about that, though, Bonjour. Like, I know you just made a joke, but there's something sexy about a man that can... like do things like that and survive out in the wilderness.
I know. I'm telling you, I really hope before I die, I get with a fireman. That's my life mission.
a fireman or a fireman?
A fireman.
Oh. Okay. No, I just didn't know if you meant like somebody who could make fire in the woods, which is very different than a fireman.
Well, a fireman. And I'm sure firemen can make fire. I'm sure it's
well, really,
no,
their
try
job
to
is
not
to put it
fire.
Out.
But in order to understand how to put it out, you must understand how it's created, I feel like.
I feel like 99% of firemen probably couldn't go into the woods and make fire without any kind of match lighter situation.
Okay. Well, whatever. Anyways, what I love is the fighting fire is very hot. Fight
did you
fire.
Just Google sexy firefighters? What are we looking at here?
And yeah, you know that Michael has the control of
the
Google.
Yeah, that was quick,
so.
Dude. That was quick.
I will be going to my sister's graduation because I can't stay a goddamn fucking weekend in Los Angeles anymore.
Yeah, seriously, girl.
Ugh. It'll be fine.
Hashtag travel
life. I'm proud of her. I am proud of her. Graduation is a big deal. Not
where,
that she came
where
to
is that again for everyone?
Indiana. Bumfuck Indiana.
Have you been to Indiana before?
I have, to visit my little sis. She's my BFF.
I have to ask, because I feel like graduation is a big, like, it's a big milestone, right?
Yeah.
Is there any advice that you're going to give her? Like,
I've thought so much about it, and there's such an added pressure not to bring the end of the show down to, like, I'll say it in a cheery voice. Such an added pressure, because we don't have my mom. So it's like, I feel like I have to say something big or, like, do something big. And my dad is so bad at this shit. Like, it's like painfully bad at it. I don't know. I have been thinking a lot about it. Maybe a letter. I asked her what she wants. I'm like, let me buy you a nice present. And she's like, I'll get back to you. But everything I bought for her, she loses. I bought her a diamond necklace. She fucking lost it a week later. I bought her these gorgeous leather shoes. She left them at a party. Like... It's like, I don't want to fucking spend money on you, you know? Like, what do you want that you actually need so that you won't lose it? Because I don't want to fucking piss away money.
What about a matching tattoo? You know she won't lose that.
We have matching tattoos.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we have matching tattoos. She's my only tattoo that I have. We both have them on our backs. So I feel like doing that second time doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Not as special.
No. She's like, I need, like, shit from CVS. I'm like, makeup wipes? She's like, yeah, and, like, shampoo and stuff. I'm like, you just want me to, like, essentially grocery shop for you? You won't have that or keep that.
I have to say, what's her plan? Do you know where she's moving to next?
She's going back to Boston.
Okay. Well, you know how Kevin a few shows ago talked about how when I moved into my new place, he kind of took me around to Target and did a whole Target run?
Yeah. Maybe I should do that when she moves. How quickly do I have to get her a graduation thing, though? Is that too late?
Oh, you have, I think, manners-wise, you have, months and months and months. I think even they say for like a wedding gift up to a year, you're fine.
Yeah, I just found that out the other day. I had no idea. I thought it was on the date.
No. Nope.
So maybe I will figure, I don't know. There's something nice, though, about something she'll have forever as opposed to... That, but maybe that
it's
is a good
memory.
Idea.
I forever have the memory of Kevin really stepping up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if you guys go shop together.
You are, and not that she's not great, because she is in a different way, but you are that kind of person, Bonjour. Like, my sister's like, I just feel like she'd be like, thanks so much, bitch. Like, peace, deuces, you know? I don't feel like it'd be like, this is a really meaningful thing. She'd be like, ah, oh, fuck, I need this and I need this. Oh, good thing you're here. Thanks.
Maybe you give her a second chance to have a gift that she won't lose. So maybe you do get her something really, really nice and you say, hey, congratulations. Now that you are a college graduate and you are officially a woman embarking on the world, I know that you are responsible enough to take care of this thing and you'll have it forever.
And then when she loses it.
I think, yeah, considering her track record, I think you need to buy, it's a memory. It's something like that, an event. Maybe I'm fly like, her out here.
I'm like, homie, how did you lose your shoes? How did you lose your shoes? She's like, I don't know. I was at this frat party and like one of them got taken off by somebody and then the other one ended up in a tree and I couldn't get it down and then the other one was already gone. I was like, there's so many follow-up questions but I can't even fucking ask. Anyway, that's our show for the night, guys. I'm sure you missed our captain at Undergaro. Tweet him, tell him how much we needed not to be just four little white millennials sitting in here tonight, and you missed him. And I again think he's on a secret mission, but he will be telling you guys on Wednesday when he's back where he went and all that good stuff. Don't forget also to find us at The Tomorrow Show. Let us know about that Facebook question. Would you use that dating thing or whatever else you want to talk to us about? It's at Christy Reports.
Yeah.
It's at Bonjour Juliet. It's at The Only MC, where you can see him shirtless and talk about him, his own quotes and how inspirational they are to him. It's at Roxy Stryer. And again, at The Tomorrow Show, at Undergaro. We love you guys. And Christy, do you remember? Until then.
Better tomorrow and stuff. Yay!
It's so close. Bonjour.
Make it a better tomorrow.
There it is.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one. I like to watch things on TV.